Cause that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Good Friday, April 14th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, we live to tell about our Tales from Keeneland's Maker's Mark bottle signing on Friday morning. The Calipari 30 for 30? Exactly what we thought it was. UK football spring game! Oh, what a feeling! The Reds lose. The NBA playoffs begin. We were right about the Manning family after all. And we look to pick another baseball winner Friday night after hitting two huge underdogs already this week. So let's go.
You are listening live.
Every year about this time, I do a favor for my wonderful mother, and I go to Keeneland, and I get these stupid Maker's Mark Kentucky basketball bottles signed. The entire process not only is demeaning, but it's absolutely miserable. And I'm sorry to say this, and I'm going to take you through basically the whole process. First of all, you go to the website at Keeneland, and they say, we're going to give out the tickets on Thursday night at 6, but you have to have those tickets to get in Friday morning. And Friday morning, the signing starts at 6, and you can be in the line no later at 7:30, and then further down the page it says the signings will start at 7. So basically, nobody knows anything. So you show up on Thursday night to get your tickets just so you can show up on Friday morning. So I show up Thursday night, I get my little hand stamp like I'm going to a bar in Richmond, Kentucky in the 80s where I can like get a green stamp on my hand so I can only be 18 years old and then I can go into these bars and start drinking like I'm 21, like every other EKU student at the time. So they stamp your hand and give you this ticket and tell you to come back tomorrow unless you're going to camp out for the night. And when I got that ticket last night, there were hundreds of people already sitting in lawn chairs. This was 6 o'clock on Thursday night, and there were hundreds of people already camped out. And I'll remind you that the signing wasn't until Friday morning at allegedly 6 o'clock. So I'm like, forget this. I'm out of here. I'm going to go get some sleep, and then I'll come back in the morning. So I show my happy butt there at 6 o'clock on Friday morning, and I knew I was in trouble because my Starbucks, I looked down at my Starbucks cup, and it was stamped 5:40 in the morning when I ordered it. Not a good sign. And as soon as I got there, I get into line next to these people, and the people right behind me in line have a baby. And that baby is 4 weeks, 2 days, and 6 hours old. Do you know how I know that? Because I asked the father how old the baby was. He told me 4 months, 2 days, and 6 hours. In which I told him, dude, just say 4 months. Don't be that guy. And he laughed. He goes, yeah, you're right. The baby was 4 months old. And I immediately start thinking, I'm in trouble because this baby's gonna go potty and or cry incessantly the entire time. Now, God bless this poor little baby who's gotta sit in line for hours. She didn't utter a peep the whole time, which was a blessing from God indeed on this Good Friday. So as we're standing in line at 6 o'clock, immediately, and it's still dark outside, immediately a woman emerges, apparently the first woman that was in line, emerges from getting her bottle signed, asking anyone in the back of the line, which was where I was at, because I actually went home and got some sleep, asking if anyone needed an extra ticket because they didn't get one the night before. A few people raised their hand right here. And then she immediately says, how much will you give me for it? I'm starting at 100. By the way, these tickets were given away free the night before. And so everybody laughs at her and she storms off like we're all morons for not taking her deal of giving her $100 for a free ticket. And of course, as you progress through the line, you see all kinds of things. You see people with all these shirts commemorating the 1996 national champions. And that was the team that was signing the bottles. I saw one poor woman who looked like she was frozen, had multiple coats and layers as she sat there. She wasn't moving and she looked like she was bawling. And I felt so bad for her. The line was so long, the people at Keeneland apparently made some sort of Maker's Mark concoction together. It wasn't alcohol, but it was some kind of what looked like a fruit cocktail in a very small cup. I asked the people in front of me, who actually ate one, I go, hey, 1 to 10, grade this for me. 10 being the best you've ever had and 1 being dog food. How would you grade this? And they go, oh, it's a 5. Well, thank you so much. You told me nothing. Why don't you draw a line in the sand and pick a side? When somebody asks you, hey, is that good or not? It's like being pregnant. It's either one or the other. You could have said, eh, it's okay. But no, these people, oh, it's 5 right down the middle. Thanks for nothing. And as we progress through line, we come across this guy who looks exactly like Colonel Sanders. And he's dressed exactly like Colonel Sanders with white pants with a light blue pinstripe on them. And apparently talking to everyone who passes by him in line. For reasons I still don't know. And then we finally get to the table to have our bottles signed. And I can tell you all the people that were sitting at the table. Cameron Mills was there. In fact, he was standing the entire time I saw him there. So it had to be at least an hour that I was in the room where he was at. He stood the whole time. Jared Prickett was there. He looked like he was having some fun with it. People were taking pictures of him. He was acting like he was drinking from the bottles. He looked like he was trying to have a little bit of fun. Jeff Shepard was there. I don't think he said one word to anybody, and I also don't think he smiled one time. He looked absolutely pissed to be there. Maybe this was too early for him to get up, whatever, but he did not look happy being there. Derek Anderson was there. It looked like he was holding up the line a little bit because the assignment of signing your name on all these bottles might have been a little too difficult for him. It was almost like he was sticking his tongue out of the side of his mouth every time he had to sign his name. And then you had two other clowns, one from Maker's Mark and one from Keeneland. And these two guys are there every year. And what are these two doing every year? They're holding up the line every year. Because let's just face it, guys, collectors do not get these bottles because they want your signature on them. They get these bottles because they want guys like the people who played on these teams. They want those signatures on them, not yours. So you're holding up the line. Every year, you hold up the line. Why are you there to begin with? Nobody knows who you are. Nobody cares who you are. Just collect the gazillions of dollars that you're making off these bottles and go somewhere else. Because people who have to sit in line for hours every year for this crap don't want your names on it, first of all, and we'd like to get home before lunchtime. And then, of course, there's a cattle call to collect your bottles. It was a little difficult for me to find mine because when they announced the numbers on the bottles, the person who announced mine had dyslexia, said the number wrong, and I had to wait an extra 5 minutes till I figured out, hey, she got my numbers backwards. And that's another thing. If your one job is to announce numbers on a bottle, why don't you get them correct? You have one job to do. Pick up the bottle, look at the number, yell the number, put the bottle down, and let the person pick it up who owns the bottle. I eventually had to go up to some guy who was dressed in a bright green Masters-type jacket, and I literally called him Sergio Garcia and said, sir, is this my bottle? After the woman announcing the numbers, actually got the numbers on the bottle in the wrong order. And then I finally got out of there about 9 o'clock. So I was there probably around between 3 and 3.5 hours. 3.5 hours of my life that I'll never get back. 3.5 hours of my life in which I saw some of the saddest, most pathetic people in the world. But at least the people I stood next to in line were halfway entertaining. Because believe me, the last thing you need to be in that mess. So to bottom line this whole experience, I get that everybody wants as much UK basketball memorabilia as you can get your hands on. But if you're a Fringe fan like me, don't do this process. It's miserable. The only reason I'm doing it is because my mom, God bless her, is too broken down and sick to get out and do it herself, or else I would never do this. But I do this for her. And I hate it, but I do it anyway because it makes her happy. See, here at the bottom line, we have a heart after all. As much as some of you beg to differ. So there you go. There's our tale from the Keeneland Maker's Mark bottle signing this morning. Thank God that's over until next year, when I'll have to do it all over again.
The Walker ahead to Shepard. There you have it. Kentucky is the king of college basketball.
Most of the buzz at Keeneland this morning was about the 30 for 30 from Calipari last night. Apparently everybody in that line watched that Calipari documentary. We watched a little bit of it, and I'll tell you exactly what this was. It was exactly what we said it was. A recruiting video. This is why they didn't show this in March. Didn't show this during college basketball season. They showed it during recruiting season when some of the biggest names that haven't signed are still deciding where to go to school next year. Coincidence? I think not.
All right, a white guy just faked out another white guy and then took a shot at the top of the key that didn't go in. Is this like a charity game? I've never seen so many white guys out on a court in basketball. This should be in like black and white. You know, with them dribbling with their hand on top of the ball.
ESPN's Jalen Rose, once a member of the Fab Five with Michigan, was commenting on his former college coach Steve Fisher and comparing him to John Calipari, saying that both Fisher and Calipari both have one national championship, and they both have three appearances in the national championship game. But yet Calipari gets documentaries made about him and is lauded as one of the greatest coaches in America, and both of them have had two Final Fours vacated. Yet Calipari is applauded as one of the great coaches in America, and Steve Fisher retired this past week to basic anonymity, and it barely caused a ripple. If you look at iconic coaches in college basketball, of course Calipari's better than Fisher. But Jalen Rose does have a point. People dismiss Steve Fisher for being a bad coach. And yes, the Fab Five got busted. But Fisher did win a national championship literally 3 weeks after taking over as head coach. Name another coach that has ever done or will ever do that. Nobody. I'm not saying Steve Fisher is the next John Wooden, but I think we look at him with a little bit different perspective than we look at Calipari, because people see Fisher as a guy who just rode the Fab Five to stardom. So for once, I agree with Jalen Rose regarding Michigan basketball. There are a lot of similarities between Steve Fisher and John Calipari, but most of them regard vacating Final Fours.
Michigan have to bring it.
Oh, he walked! He walked and the referee missed it!
Weber brings it into the front court. They have no timeouts remaining.
Oh, he causes too many timeouts. That's a technical foul.
He called a timeout. Michigan doesn't have any.
He got by with a walk, and he calls a timeout. He doesn't realize that's Michigan's too many, and so it'll be a technical foul. North Carolina shooting and the ball. A huge mental mistake.
More college basketball. UK has a player coming in next year. His name is PJ Washington, and he was quoted this week as saying, "They think that we are just a one-and-done school." First of all, who's they? They would include me, because Kentucky is a one-and-done school. They had three of them this year. And also, they think we are just a one-and-done school? When did Kentucky become we? You're just part of the process, dude. You're just another spoke in the wheel. Because when you come in next year, and when you leave after next year, you're just another guy. And you can watch that documentary all you want about all the players that come back and love Coach Cal. But guess what? It's a machine at Kentucky. It's a conveyor belt. Bring in the one and dones, let them go, bring in some more the next year. It's just how it is. So to sit there and say, they think we are just a one and done school, that's exactly what Kentucky is. They have more one and dones than anybody. Maybe this kid didn't get the memo when he was recruited.
Smoke weed every day.
Well, now that basketball season is basically over, other than Calipari recruiting more guys to fill out the roster next year, the Herald Leader has come up with a column today, and the headline reads, "Everything you need to know about Kentucky basketball from now until November." Really? Let me tell you right now, I don't have to write 1,500 words to tell you everything you need to know between now and November for UK basketball. Let me just tell you, you gotta wait 6.5 months. That's what you have to do. Because there's nothing in college basketball between now and November. What in God's name is gonna happen? Some of the things listed on this list were the Kentucky Derby Festival Classic. Travel season begins. John Calipari bobblehead night at the Legends game. Summer classes begin. Basketball camps. The Peach Jam. Pro camps and celebrity events. The first day of class for the fall semester. The day the UK schedule will be announced. And of course, November 1st, the season begins. Thank you so much for telling us all we need to know between now and November. This must have taken a lot of brain work on the part of the Herald Leader to come up with such an ingenious calendar. If you're a college basketball fan, just go to sleep until the beginning of November. That's what everybody else is doing. Then again, the website called Sea of Blue had a story saying that Kentucky fans should hit the panic button because so many people have left and Calipari doesn't have enough players to fill out a roster. Uh-huh. What was that 30 for 30 last night? What was that all about? Recruiting. Exactly. No need to hit the panic button. Sheesh. Friday night in April means one thing. Kentucky football, the spring game is tonight. Oh, goody. Here's what you need to know about the spring game, okay? You can read all these other columns, and believe me, the Herald has another thing. What things you should look for in the spring game. Here's what you should look for. A, does your quarterback stay healthy and upright during the game? That would help, because we know Drew Barker's not playing. So, as long as Steven Johnson can walk off the field, everything will remain status quo. B, you can't bet on this game out in Las Vegas, so why are we even worried about this game? I don't need to read these write-ups on Saturday morning. Oh, the linebacker's graded out a B-. Ooh, the tight end's graded out a C+. I don't need to read that, because it doesn't mean anything. So, if you're going to the spring game tonight, God bless you. Go have fun. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy it for what it is. Just a little chance to get out on a Friday night in April. But don't take it for anything more than what it is. A glorified practice.
Well, you know, that's how my people like to handle their business. While your guys are out partying, mine are running routes. Try to make a difference.
Speaking of glorified practices, the Big Ten Network had a choice to make because they could either show the Ohio State spring game live or the Michigan spring game live because they were being played at the same time. The Big Ten Network chose Ohio State. You don't think Jim Harbaugh is going to use this come November? Yeah, I guarantee you he does.
He's always like that. He's always telling fibs, lying. Wait, when do you ever tell the truth?
You're a good-looking guy.
What?
Lied again, didn't I?
And it's official. Former Kentucky wide receiver Jeff Badette is now an Oklahoma Sooner, going from Mark Stoops to Bob Stoops. I'm sure that was legal and on the up-and-up entirely.
9 months they had to come up with another name, and that's the best they could do. Warren, that's the most important thing they could come up with in 9 months. Shows you the mentality of his parents. Of course, he went to the University of Wisconsin, right?
In Madison.
Don't take a whole lot to get in there. I guess you have to be able to, the entrance exam, you have to be able to write your name in three different colors of crayon.
More college football. John Shatter, who you may know as Papa John, the guy that owns Papa John's, says he's happy with the $63 million renovations on the stadium bearing his company's name, Papa John's Stadium. But yesterday when he was asked to comment on it, he said, by the way, it's my stadium. I win on this stadium renovation, but it's not healthy when you're not prudent with your money when you're the University of Louisville. Well, thank you, Papa John, for reminding us that it's your stadium. Something tells me that it is not completely your stadium, Papa John. Wow, a huge ego that he's never been called out on. And who is one of Papa John's biggest benefactors? Peyton Manning. More on the Manning family coming up later. And it's even worse than this one.
Stay tuned for all the excitement of the world champion Cincinnati Reds. Reds Radio is produced solely by the broadcast department of the Cincinnati Reds Incorporated.
Baseball last night, Reds lose 5-1 to Milwaukee. Ryan Braun, who we cannot stand because he's a big fat liar, and once called a Major League Baseball employee who collected his urine an anti-Semite, and this was just months before he got busted for drugs. And Eric Thames, both hit home runs. Jimmy Nelson, one earned run allowed in 7 innings. Reds' 4-game winning streak is over. I thought the Reds had a chance last night. You saw that first inning. Billy Hamilton, base hit, stolen base. Joey Votto got him home. You think, hey, here come the Reds again. Never scored again. Never even threatened again after that first inning. Zach Cozart, as we always say, dump him after April and May. 3-for-3 last night, now hitting .481. Different year, same hot start, leading up to a horrible finish where he'll bat around .250 like he does every year. The Reds bullpen did go scoreless again last night. That's 20 2/3 innings without an earned run. Incredible. The number one bullpen in all of baseball. Biggest concern, obviously, 41-year-old Bronson Arroyo. 5 earned runs in 6 innings last night. ERA 9.90. It's a matter of time before he's back on the streets. It really is. Arroyo, after the game, is quoted as saying, I'm impatient for results. Well, you better get some patience, brother, because you're not going to get many good results. I can promise you. And nothing says the Reds at home and early in the season like Joey Votto going 0-for-3, now hitting .158 on the year. If you think Zach Cozart is going to stay hitting .481 on the season, then you obviously think Joey Votto is going to stay at .158, too. History tells us no way. Reds and Brewers again tonight from Great American Ballpark. Tommy Malone for the Brewers, 9.00. Scott Feldman, who gave up 3 runs in the first inning of his first start and is basically Cy Young since then, 2.53. Brewers on a 3-game winning streak now, 2-0 on the season as an underdog on the road. But Cincinnati, a small favorite, we still think you're getting a little bit of value with Feldman and the Reds tonight. Not exactly a Mac Daddy Stogie, but one we would not want to go against on either side.
All right, Vaughn, they tell us you're a pitcher. You're sure not much of a dresser. We wear caps and sleeves at this level, son. Understood?
Other Reds news, today is Pete Rose's birthday. He's now 76 years old. It's obvious he doesn't have a ton more birthdays left. The least you could do, let this poor schmuck in the Hall of Fame. He may not be young anymore, but his wife is young and his hair looks young. Just saying.
I got you an outfielder. He used to play with the Giants.
Yes, sir!
And so Hiroshi Kamikaze Tanaka, recently of the Tokyo Giants, knocks himself cold for the second time this week. Maybe in Japan that's actually better than catching the ball. Personally, I think he's just trying to get out of the lineup.
Other baseball news. Tomorrow, Saturday, will be Jackie Robinson Day in Major League Baseball. And it's the worst day if you're a fan that's trying to pay attention to these games. Why is that? Because everybody in baseball wears the number 42 in honor of Jackie Robinson. And nobody's got the name on the back of their uniform. So everybody's wearing number 42 and nobody has the name on their jerseys. Now, it's okay if you're watching a team you watch every day. Like, let's say you're watching the Reds. You know who those guys are. But if you're watching another team and you just see number 42, you don't really know everybody on every other team. You'd like to have names on the back of jerseys. So Jackie Robinson Day has only one flaw. We don't know who's playing on some of these teams.
Top of the sixth, and rookie sensation Ricky Vaughn on the pitch now. You can close the book on Kelner.
Thank God.
Ken Griffey Jr. will have a statue revealed in Seattle before the Mariners game tonight in Seattle. Oh, by the way, don't count on that Ken Griffey Jr. statue showing up in Cincinnati anytime soon. Marty Brenneman will never let that happen.
Anyway, listen to the roar of the crowd as the Indians take the field. Yes, sir, they love this club here in Cleveland.
More stadium news. SunTrust Park is opening in Atlanta tonight, the first regular season game. They had a preseason game there a couple of weeks ago. And according to all reports, it's not going to be the pitcher's paradise that was Turner Field for the last 20 years. Fantasy owners, be warned. The NBA. The regular season is now over, thank God. Playoffs start on Saturday. It's either Golden State or the field, and I think I'd take Golden State, and I'll be honest with you. If Golden State loses this playoff, who's going to get blamed for it? Is it going to be Steve Kerr? Is it going to be Curry or Klay Thompson or Draymond Green? No. It is going to be one person and one person alone, Kevin Durant. So if you ask me, who would I take, Golden State or the field? Golden State, but I'm not putting a ton of money on it. Although out in Las Vegas, they are a 1-2 favorite. That's a lot of chalk right there, ladies and gentlemen. That is not worth your investment. Even if Golden State does sweep through the playoffs without losing.
Boom, shakalaka!
The Orlando Magic fired their GM yesterday, and rumors were swirling that Grant Hill is a candidate to be the new general manager. I'm all for this. Why? Because then we don't have to listen to his lame commentary on college basketball during the tournament. And by the way, you ever notice? He doesn't announce games before the tournament, does he? Only during the month of March. You never hear from Grant Hill announcing games December, January, February. But you hear from him in March. Him and Nance get a free pass all the way to the end. But you hear Bill Raftery all season. Huh.
He's heating up. He's on fire.
Other than Golden State, obviously the team with the most focus in the playoffs, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Can LeBron James carry this team one more time to an NBA championship? Or have the glory days of LeBron already passed us by? He already has more playoff minutes than Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, and Larry Bird. Think about that for a minute. The odds are that Cleveland and Golden State will face again in the NBA Finals. But something tells me it's just not going to play out like that. Just saying. The NFL, Eli Manning involved in fraud. Wow, the Manning family up to chicanery and no good. I can't believe it. Apparently there's proof that Eli Manning was claiming that certain memorabilia were quote-unquote game-worn, and then come to find out that it's not game-worn, and Eli still has it all himself. Wow, the Manning family lying? and covering up just to make a few extra dollars? You're kidding me. There is no family that isn't in politics. I'm not counting anything political here. There's no family in sports history that has gotten away with more bullcrap, lying, and covering up than the Manning family. I'm just saying, it's crazy. But they get a free pass. Everybody loves Peyton. Everybody loves Eli. Everybody loves Archie. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I'll say it like this. Give them credit for playing the game, because they have played the game very well. The sad thing is, the public hasn't been smart enough to see who they really are.
And you know, if they had an Olympics for stupidity, Dutch would win the gold medal.
It appears imminent now that Marshawn Lynch will be a member of the Oakland Raiders next year. For my money, that's a bad move for the Raiders. You get a 30-year-old running back who's already seen much better days, who was already slowing down in his final year with Seattle. Now he's 30. Why don't you go out and get Ray Rice while you're at it?
The only person that would be interested in this match is the kind of guy that would think a six-pack of beer and a bug zapper is quality entertainment.
Dean Blandino is now the former head of NFL officials because he's going to resign from that position to go into television. Wow, color me shocked. Apparently he's going to CBS to fill in the old role that Mike Carey had a couple years ago. And if you remember anything like this, and you can YouTube this, Mike Carey, who was a former NFL official who refereed in the Super Bowl one time, was horrible. Every time they'd go to him and ask him about a call or a play, he would say, this is what should be called, and then the referee on the field would call the exact opposite. It was incredible. By the end of the season that year, they just stopped going to him because he was so bad. Unbelievable. So Dean Blandino is going into the world of television. He's probably going to make a lot more money, and if he goes to CBS, he can't be any worse than Mike Carey was. That guy was awful.
You ain't changed a bit, Lola. You're just a big loud mouth who likes to stir stuff up. Shut up, woman.
Are you looking for a good fantasy football quarterback next year? Boy, have I got a guy for you. His name is Aaron Rodgers. You might have heard of him. Why, you may say? I can spew out all the statistics you want, but I have the main statistic for you. He broke up with his girlfriend, Olivia Munn. And the reports came out today that Olivia Munn is devastated by the fact that Aaron Rodgers dumped her. There you go, Aaron Rodgers. Get rid of these chicks, man. If you were married to her, that's one thing. But you weren't married to her, so go out and play football now. Don't worry about these chicks, man. I'll guarantee you, Aaron Rodgers has a better year this year than he has the last couple years while he's been dating this chick. Guarantee it. Fantasy football, number one overall pick. Well, a quarterback at least.
I want winners.
Greed is good.
Cash, cold, that's what I need.
Now with his picks for today's games, the man who's right 52% of the time, Smooth Jimmy Apollo.
Well, I don't know. Denver.
Woohoo! Denver, yeah!
Winning's one of those rare commodities on Earth that money cannot buy until you called me.
All right, Mac Daddy Stogie time. We hit on a huge underdog Wednesday with the Cardinals beating Max Scherzer and the Nationals in Washington. So we've hit two big underdogs this week. We hope you're following along. And we've got a nice little underdog for you tonight. In Miami, the Mets, 7-3, travel to play the Marlins, 4-5. Noah Syndergaard, for my money, as good a starting pitcher as there is in the National League, 0.69 ERA going for the Mets. Edison Volquez pushed up to pitch tonight after the Marlins burned their bullpen last night. Then again, the Mets burned their bullpen too because they played a 16-inning game last night. Volquez, 3.27 ERA on the year. Mets minus 160, which means the Marlins are about a plus 150 right now. Both teams have hitters that are on fire. Yoenis Cespedes has been a home run machine. Major league leader in home runs. Miami, though, Marcell Ozuna hit two just the night before last and is finally healthy for once. And if he ever stays healthy, he could be among the league leaders in home runs himself. This game comes down to two things, bullpen and value. Both teams' bullpens are fried. After last night's 16-inning game, that's why Volquez got moved up to tonight's game. And don't forget, the Mets' regular closer, Familia, is still on suspension. So the end of that bullpen is still in a little bit of flux for the Mets. And I'm getting value. Edison Volquez has been, at best, a decent pitcher since leaving the Reds a few years back. But early in the season, in April, that's always his best month of the year as a pitcher. And I'm getting the home field advantage, what little advantage there is in Miami. And I'm getting plus 150 to boot. And the pitcher acting as the Mets closer right now Addison Reed threw two innings last night. The Marlins closer, A.J. Ramos, didn't even pitch last night. Advantage, Marlins. We'll take the big underdog Marlins over the Mets tonight. Volquez over Syndergaard, your Mac Daddy Stogie of the night. And make sure to light one up as the aforementioned A.J. Ramos trots in from the Marlins bullpen to close this one out for Miami.
Whoa, wait a minute.
My friend, don't walk on me. I'm not through gloating.
And that does it for the Good Friday, April 14th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. As always, we thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Bottom Line Lex. Email anytime, bottomlinelex@gmail.com. And make sure to like us on Facebook, the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.